You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Latinos in Heritage Conservation Executive Director, Sela Montecasper.
Thank you so much for the invite, for having us. We're really excited to be here. As we were speaking beforehand, we've done a lot of work in Arizona and in Tucson, so we were just very excited to be connecting with the community again. My name is Sela Montecasper, and I am the Executive Director of Latinos in Heritage Conservation. We are a national nonprofit. We work throughout the entire country and advocate for the inclusion of Latinx heritage within the greater history of America and within historic preservation itself. I am born and raised Tejana, so I'm here from Texas, originally from North Texas, and currently I'm calling in from Central Texas in the Austin area. Proudly first gen Latina, and my parents, you know, are from Mexico, and we're Mexican indigenous, and so it's just so beautiful to be here and to do this work and have a life that's, you know, really been built on migration, and then be able to have that perspective and that lens to do this work. And there's Latinos in Heritage Conservation. We have been in existence for 11 years. And we have so many programs and so many projects that are coming up, many in Arizona, which you will all hear about, and I can't wait to share more about.
Great. Thank you so much. You know, I just took a trip to Texas, San Antonio, Texas, in May. I have a first cousin, my older cousin. He lives out there. He's a musician. He is a bajo player. He plays with Jaime de Anda, and it's a part of the whole Conjunto Tejano scene out there, which is amazing, pretty cool. It was to go there, and he was like getting pictures in the restaurants. People wanted to take photos, like people recognize him. So that was like a little celebrity out there, I guess.
Your cousin's famous, and you got to see him in his scene. I love that.
Yeah, we actually plan on going back in October.
Let me know. It's just an hour away.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I'm looking forward to hearing all about the work that you all do and for reaching out in regards to a specific topic, which we'll get more into. I know you mentioned that you, the staff visited, made a visit here to Tucson. Can you share a little bit about what that work was about, and if there's any ties or connections to the topic that we are going to be discussing here in a bit?
Absolutely. So Latinos in Heritage Conservation, or LHC, we have very long-standing ties to Tucson. It actually starts with our origin story, started in Tucson. Yeah, Tucson is near and dear to our hearts. And the very first time that we ever convened nationally was in your lovely city, Tucson. And we were there. One of our founders, her name is Desiree Aranda. She currently is the historic preservation officer there in Tucson now. She's come full circle. And she was there, and Betty Villegas, who is a state representative, she was there and worked with us. And so there was just a lot of support to be in Tucson. Preservation Tucson, they hosted us. They said, we want to support you. Y'all come here, we will give you a grant. It was the very first time we ever received a grant. So the love and the support from Tucson has been in our origin story. And it's something that we're very proud about. And it's, when we were there, it was in 2015. So 10 years ago, we held our very first convening there. And we were all staying downtown and experiencing this, and we were in Barrio Viejo, and it was just such a beautiful landscape to be able to talk about our history not being acknowledged. And the very place that we were in was in Barrio Viejo, which has such a traumatic displacement story. And it just provided the perfect landscape for us to be able to have these real conversations around it. So that is our connection to Tucson. We go there all of the time. We just started our Borderlands project, which we piloted in Texas, because this is where I am. And now we're going throughout the entire Southwest and Tucson, because we just, it's near and dear to, you know, our corazones, our hearts. We're just so happy, like, to go back, and we knew we had to put it back on there. So we, last year we were there, we did a community outreach event with Los Descendientes there in Tucson, and took in oral histories of elders and got to learn about their experience of living in Tucson. And then this past year we launched our grant program. It's the very first grant program that supports Latinx heritage throughout the country. And one of our grant recipients is in South Tucson. So it's a women's LULAC group, and we're so excited to support that, and excited through our current project, which brings us together with you today, which is our Endangered Latinx Landmarks program, that we have a site listed in Tucson there again. So we're deeply committed to supporting the community there. We have so many different elders and advisors that have helped us grow that are in Tucson. And so shout out to all of you all, you know who you are. And I just, you know, we're excited to be coming back in November. So I'm going to be in your neck of the woods with my team in November.
Awesome. Wow. Well, thank you so much for giving that introduction, sharing a little bit of background on the work of Latinos in Heritage Conservation. And if we can get right into the topic of this upcoming announcement about Endangered Latinx Landmarks. Now, first, why was this something that you wanted to bring to the forefront, and why is it important for folks to know and understand?
Absolutely. You know, in the United States, the history and the footprint and narrative of Latinos, Latinxes, of our indigenous communities is so overlooked and erased from, you know, just the landscape as a whole. When we start out narratives with colonization, well, it takes out most of our people in the footprint of where we are today, where you stand today, where I stand today. And so I've been doing this work for over a decade, and what I know to be true is that we're not written in the history books because we're not the writers of our own history and heritage. And so the work of LHC is to elevate all of our accomplishments that we've done since the beginning of time and be able to share all of the contributions that we've had, all of the achievements that we've had. Sometimes they're traumatic stories, sometimes they're great stories, but it's our story. So the Endangered Landmarks program was really born out of the knowledge that we know that less than 1% of sites listed in the National Register of Historic Places is associated with Latinx heritage. Primarily in the federal government, most of the sites are Spanish colonization. And so a lot of times when people find out that I do Latinx historic preservation, they're like, oh, hey, you love the Alamo, right? Or, hey, what about this mission? You know, so important. Like, oh no, our people built the mission, our blood built the mission, but that is not our story.
Yes.
So, less than 1% of sites are associated with our history and heritage, and that's detrimental. And so the work that we do, we really focus on being solution-oriented. We have our tools and our knowledge, and we know that these sites, they're being demolished every single day. We're dealing with erasure, and because of that, we wanted to create the very first endangered listing that focuses on Latinx heritage. So this is the very first one ever that is centered either local, state, national level, and so we're just really proud of it, and we know that this is going to be a vehicle for change and just to help elevate so many incredible sites and so much incredible work done by our people, and so we're very excited about it.
Well, thank you so much for giving a little bit of historical context to the topic of the Endangered Latinx Landmarks. And so you also mentioned about visiting Tucson with the work behind kind of this announcement, which I believe is September 9th.
That's right.
So can you talk a little bit about what your plans are for that day?
Absolutely. Well, we're very excited. We're going to have a live announcement. We're going to have a live webinar. So we invite you and the community to join us. There will be a celebration that will be had, and Tucson will be part of our first legacy of our inaugural listing. And myself and the project manager for the Endangered Latinx Landmarks will be on it and sharing the purpose of this program, the why of this program, and the very first listing, which includes 13 just incredibly culturally significant, historically significant sites throughout the United States.
That's great. And yeah, can you give an example of what those sites might be? Or, you know, like you mentioned, when people think of historical or conservation, they think of a crumbling building or something like that, but they don't ever think of like tortilla shops or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, are the sites that we selected are anything from like a single building to an entire neighborhood, anything from a very rural site to a city center like in Chicago. So it's a very vast and diverse listing of groups. We have a lot of threats that we're dealing with. Usually it's around rapid development in cities. So then we're dealing with displacement and gentrification, unfortunately. Climate issues is a really big issue. So there were a lot of sites that came up, and what you'll see is there anything from 18th century sites all the way up to contemporary history, like in the 90s. We really wanted it to be reflective of our entire experience and as diverse as the peoples that we are. And I think it reflects that. So we're excited about that. Traditionally, a landmark is seen as like what you were saying, like if we think about a historical site, you're always thinking about adobe structures that are falling over. Maybe you think about Teatro Carmen, you know, which is there in your city and just received this wonderful rehabilitation and they're bringing it back to life. It can vary in our history in these sites and in these communities. They're multi-layered, right? So like we can have a Chinese experience there. It can be a Jewish experience. You know, it can be an indigenous experience. It can be a Mexican Revolution experience. But all of these stories contribute to the heart of the communities. And so all of the sites that we selected tell various stories and are different types of sites. And like you said, it can be a tortilla site, something that's near and dear, something that's associated with comida and food and that nurtures our soul, you know, nurtures our bellies and that, you know, reminds us of home. And so, yeah, we had a lot of sites like that that were like mom and pop sites all the way up to more institutional sites, which you'll see on the listing and on September 9th, just how diverse they are.
And if folks wanted to go and learn more about this topic or even about Latinos and heritage conservation, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to our website, which is www.latinoheritage.us, latinoheritage.us. And you can find us there. We have information all about the endangered Latinx landmarks. We also have our origin story, which is on there, our history. We give a shout out to Tucson. Then find us in news there. And we'll also be in your hood in November. So very excited to be coming back. We're going to be hosting community events in November. So we invite you and the audience to come. We're going to be taking oral histories from elders. We're going to be showcasing how to do oral histories. It's very intergenerational. And you know, really showing community how we can preserve our voice and tell our stories, like through the work that you're doing right now through your podcast, through the work that community could be doing over a kitchen table. And so we'll be there doing that in November. And so you can also find us and find more information on our website about that.
Thank you so much. And with the work that you're doing and how you got involved, do you have like a personal story or connection that really resonates with you?
Absolutely. A story that really resonates with me was my own lived experience. I grew up in North Texas, again, first, you know, proud first gen Mexican American, and my parents are very much like all of our parents, they're storytellers. We've had to learn to tell our stories to keep our memories alive. And so, so many of the stories that I learned about, you know, was like our indigenous roots and how, you know, we have long lines of traditions of our people going and traversing from, you know, South Mexico up to like the Northwest here in what's now the United States. And those were just histories that I was very proud about and that I knew since I was born. And then I get into elementary school in my small town of Grapevine, Texas. And like any historian, I was like a very geeky historian as a kid and would read all the history books, you know, and like starting in first grade, and was loved history class. But I was reading them and just could not see myself in these books. I couldn't see myself in the narratives that we told. You know, like all of us that go to school here in Texas in the sixth grade, we focused highly on Texas history. And it was basically from like secession, the Alamo on, and it was a very colonized lens. So it really was stark, and, you know, like many of us felt like an other, you know, like an outsider. And it was just jarring. And it wasn't until I was much older that I was able to articulate my own experience, like being around primarily like individuals, you know, that look like me, but yet our stories aren't told, our histories aren't acknowledged, we're being erased, and the things that we should be celebrating, acknowledging, and educating weren't part of our system at all. And so that really opened up my eyes, and when I decided to become a historian, study historic preservation, and also later on go to grad school for historic preservation, I always knew that this was gonna be my niche. I've always focused on Latino representation because of what we're trying to do. So the work that we do within historic preservation, at Latinos in Historic Preservation, we always say that we're working to democratize and decolonize historic preservation. We've always been here, you know, since time immemorial, and we'll always be here. We are resilient, and it's just a matter of remembering our history and bringing that back to community. So yeah, it's very personal to me. And the work that we do every single day, we do this so that way kids don't have to have that same experience that I had or that we've all had growing up, you know, in school.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that, and that you have taken on this role in preservation. And even with storytelling, I know a lot of people probably don't even think to consider that as something to preserve, even like your own family's history. And I think that's one thing that I've definitely learned over the years in interviewing so many people and telling their stories, or letting them to tell their own stories. And I'm just, you know, kind of this a resource, really, pretty much. But highlighting the stories of who we are as individuals, our cultural backgrounds, our family trees, our family ties to land, to water, to migration, just so many things to consider, because it's important to know and understand who you are as an individual, your background, where you come from, where do your roots lie, because that's so important to a foundation that you want to be able to lay for yourself. And that's something that I've learned through just simply storytelling and hearing other people's story. So that's why I get excited when people share just what you talked about, your family, the history of land, why you got into what you got into. So thank you so much for sharing that. And hopefully I get to catch you all when you guys come back in November.
Yes, we hope so. That would be incredible. And we'd love to support your work however we can. But yeah, we're very excited to be back.
So I'm just so happy that I got a chance to really just talk to you all and hear about this upcoming event and, you know, this upcoming announcement, you know, to you, the listener, look out for September 9th. And there you can see the full list. Without giving away that entire list now, how many would you say are on the list?
There's 13 on the list. 13 nationwide and one in your incredible city.
Sweet. Well, I look forward to also learning where that location or what that landmark is. But until then, we will definitely keep you updated. And of course, you can always look on the website for Latinos and Heritage Conservation and, of course, on Cultivating Indigenous Voices website. Now, before we end the conversation, is there anything else that I'm missing? Anything that you would like to add? Any last comments or even shout outs? This is radio.
Yeah. You know, I want to circle back to what you said about storytelling and just say that very much resonates with the work that I do, that we do. The work that we do is storytelling, and often, like, our people, we don't think that our story matters, or we don't think that our story is significant enough to tell, especially Latinas. And so I encourage everybody to sit around the table and ask your parents, ask your grandparents, ask your tías and tíos about the history or what their experience was like, you know, when they first got their driver's license. Did they go down historical Route 66? You know, when did they first fly on an airplane? These are stories that I love asking, and we all have a mechanism to record this on our phone. And so a lot of the work that we're teaching youth and through intergenerational education is using our technology and recognizing that we have important stories to tell, and it's up to us to ask the questions if we're going to preserve them. Because otherwise, once these stories are gone, it's lost. And, you know, that's exactly what we're fighting against, is erasure. You know, I often say, you know, like, we don't want to be passively, like, standing by and let others write our histories. You know, the histories that are at the national parks currently, especially right now, our histories are being attacked, and they're trying to get what little history we have in there out of there. And so because of that, it's important for us not to be passerbys or passively stand by. You know, we need to be able to stand up and tell our own story and really recognize the fact that it's up to us to help reshape these narratives. I really am excited to learn more about, you know, just youth and, you know, telling their own stories there. That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much. I absolutely appreciate you taking the time to be a part of this interview, sharing this upcoming announcement, and of course, sharing a little bit of your personal story as well.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Cultivating Indigenous Voices. We can't wait to see you in November.
You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Latinos and Heritage Conservation Executive Director, Sela Montecasper.